Blog Talk Radio.
Another lovely day begins. Some ghouls with greenish skin. So close your eyes and you will find that you've arrived in Frightenstein.
All right, not exactly Frightenstein. How about Eerie House Radio? Of the okay from Spook Show, I'm accompanied by...
Dave Bigley from Weirdness Really Bad Movies, Spaceship One, and with Goat.
And no one else
and,
at the moment.
And Old Spice. And Old Spice, yes.
And Paladin, yes. I hope you can hear him.
It means every time I gotta slap my face every time I hear it, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, my. We're still sleeping off though tonight, aren't we, Dale?
What's that?
We're still sleeping it off, though, tonight, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. No, we're sleeping around tonight.
Oh.
I'm sleeping it off.
I tell you what, I my brain went to sleep, and it happened last night, and I didn't know until this morning.
Uh-oh.
We're
in trouble.
Got up, and I was getting ready to go around, and I had some things to do, and sure as shooting, I couldn't find my wallet. It wasn't in my room either. Anywhere. It wasn't in my coat. It wasn't anywhere. The wife said, well, where'd you have it last? I said, well, I bought you that cup of Dunkin' Donuts. She said, well, you must have left it there. She says, well, why would I do that? I went inside. I went, well, I called Dunkin' Donuts finally out of desperation. She said, oh, yeah, we have your wallet here. I said, really? So I went there and retrieved my wallet. And as she was handing it to me, I said, well, funnily enough, I still have my receipt for the coffee. You know, so... oh, so my brain went to sleep last night.
That's all right. CW joins us here in the studio.
Hello, hello, hello. So glad you found your wallet.
Now I know who I am.
Charges. Yeah, just ignore all those charges and comic books on there.
Yep, and this won't be a sleeper tonight either. CBS Radio Mystery Theater coming up a little later on.
Yeah, it's been a show that has actor Court Benson. We're going to take a look. Go ahead.
Hopefully you won't find me asleep at the wheel because I'm at the wheel as we speak.
Yeah,
I hear the turn signal going there. Are you turning right or left? That's what I want to know.
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, so they're emergency flashers. That way, you know, you can go either way. I got it.
That's my way of saying it.
Everybody
death.
Knows. Watch out. I'm on the highway. I'm on the road. So everybody, run for cover.
Yeah. Put the emergency flashers on. That's your way of saying guess.
Yep, that's right.
That'll clear a path.
It should. It should.
So I took a little sleep this afternoon.
Did you know?
Started watching The Wild One with Marlon Brando.
And oh, yeah?
Yep. Didn't get very far.
I feel ashamed because I just really am not a Marlon Brando fan.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that he, you know, not that outside of maybe what he did in Godfather, there's nothing that he has ever really impressed me on.
Did you see Streetcar Named Desire?
No, I did not.
See that one. That will really impress you. It is very well written, and he was very well directed. Whoever the director was knew how to reel him in.
Okay.
There's another movie with him. I think he acts fairly well in, Dave. I can't remember the name of it. CW, maybe you can help me. He's like this traveling guy, wears a snakeskin jacket, and he blows into this little town. There's this married woman, a Hispanic woman, and her husband's like real crazy and real sick, a diabetic or something, like real bad. And a young girl, and he's like caught up between them. Joanne Woodward's in it, maybe?
You're thinking of Sweet Bird of Youth, and that was with Paul Newman.
No, no, no. No, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of another one that's definitely Marlon Brando in it.
Huh.
I don't know. We'll think of it later. I'll look it up, and we'll get it on
okay,
the break,
we'll
maybe.
Think about it.
Yeah.
He
I just think his method acting is just... I just feel like his method acting is so much over the top, you know, and he was so miscast in Guys and Dolls. I would have really loved to have seen almost anybody else but him there.
Him doing a scene with Stubby K is hilarious.
Oh, yeah, but Stubby K just took it over. I didn't have a problem with that.
That's what I mean. I mean, with his method acting and all his training and everything, and Stubby K just pretty much pushed him out of the way.
Absolutely. I like Stubby K. I think he's great. I do. I like Stubby K.
The movie is The Fugitive Kind from 1960.
Yeah,
okay.
Marlon Brando, Joanne Woodward. And somebody Magnani, Anna Magnani, Maureen Stapleton's in.
Oh, Anna Magnani, yeah. She was in. Did you ever see Burt Lancaster with her in the Rose Tattoo?
No, but I liked her in this movie.
Yeah,
it's
if
a
you
Tennessee
really
Williams
see
story, The Fugitive Kind.
Yeah, The Fugitive Kind. But you need to see anyone who's listening. If you've never seen The Rose Tattoo, you need to stream The Rose Tattoo. That is a fan-freaking-tastic freaking movie. And I'm not freaking kidding.
Okay. Fogs Bean and good old Bob are here live in the chat with us. Welcome, fellers.
Welcome. And all netizens of the internet and interwebs.
Yep. And congrats to my buddy Chris on his new domicile. And... anyone else who's listening, thank you for joining us, whether it's in the archive or here live with us now.
Or hiding in the shadows.
As we should.
If you're
but
in
I'm
the
sleeping, I promise.
Dark web.
The dark web, the gray web, 50 shades of gray web. We're here for you.
50 shades of gray web. That'd be about right for us, I think.
Collectively. Yeah. Well, I'm only up to about 17, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. I'm working my way up. I'm taking the test. So we'll see.
I'm trying to
there
be creative. So tell us, Dave, a little bit about our feature for tonight.
Well, we've got several of the regulars on. Of course, Norman Rose, who was... often called back in the fishes the voice of God. He is in this one along with Court Benson. We're going to talk about him a little later in between acts here. Ken Harvey, Martha Greenhouse, and this is a Field in Farrington story. And maybe we'll get a little bit into Field in Farrington as well, science fiction story writer. So we're going to have a good time. I'm very for this is one of the many I had on cassette and got to listen to over and over again. It's a wonderful story. Can't wait to share this with everyone tonight.
Good. First time for me. And it's called Sleepy Village. And it's show number.
Show number 210.
Ooh.
And comes to us from January 23rd of 1975.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents
Ghost Theater.
You hear him over the door.
Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall.
Yes.
We call a concept fantasy when it fails to fall within the pattern experience has led us to expect. Fantasy, then, is unnatural, supernatural, if you like, because the road it takes is heretofore untraveled. Considered in that light, this adventure of Ralph and Wilma Albertson's is fantasy. Ralph and Wilma have had their fill of the city's turmoil. Some years ahead of the customary retirement age, Ralph is leaving his post at the university as professor of American history to write a book on the development of the New England states. He and his wife are about to depart on a meandering tour of New England in search of a home in which he may work congenially.
Ralph, will you come and sit on this suitcase so I can get it close?
Well, if you didn't feel you had to take a lifetime supply of everything.
Little Roger. If you'd make up your mind where you want to go, I'd know what to pack. Don't you have any idea where you want to end up?
Well, we'll travel the back roads, move, and when and where whimsy directs.
That's all very well, but where are we going to get to?
Some backwater town where they still think the world is flat if I have my way.
What you're looking for is a ghost town.
Well, if the ghosts are quiet and mind their own business, why not?
Our mystery drama, Sleepy Village, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Fielden Farrington and stars Norman Rose and Martha Greenhouse. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine, but Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
There are few places in the world better designed to encourage wanderlust than the northeastern section of the United States, especially in early autumn. Ralph and Wilma, half forgetting the real object of their quest, find themselves at mid-morning in the mountainous wonderland of Vermont.
I can taste the color, Ralph.
Can you imagine this country before the white man got his gadget-building hands on it?
Well, there haven't been any gadget-building hands messing around with this section much. If they hadn't put a little blacktop on this road, I'd still call it a wagon track.
Cow path before that, more than likely.
Do you expect to find a town on this road?
I don't know, but if I do,
Hey, we just passed the sign. Stop the car. If there's a town around here, we don't want to miss it.
Well, I'll back up.
Now, what's it say? It's half hidden behind that bush.
Sleepy Village. Population 364. I call that small enough, at least.
Well, if there's anything at all in a name, you found what you're looking for.
Can't call it a ghost town. It's got people in it. I saw at least three men hanging around outside the barbershop.
Oh, yes, and they saw us, too. I think it's just about the most beautiful little town I've ever seen.
Well, now, I remind you that you said that. Wow, that must be the town hall.
You know, I don't see a real estate office.
Are you serious?
It's a perfect little gem of a town, Ralph. Let's park and ask somebody. The town's only about 4 blocks long. I'll wait here. You go ask one of those men in front of the barbershop.
Okay.
Oh, you know, you look like an awful city slicker.
I am a city slicker. Excuse me. I wonder if you might tell me where to find a real estate dealer.
Fella sells houses and all?
That's right.
Man you'd want to see, I expect, would be Ellis Perkins. He's the mayor.
Oh, where would I find him?
Ellis, right over yonder in the village hall. It might be there. Might not.
Well, I'll have a look. Thank you very much. We have to see the mayor.
The mayor?
We must sell real estate on the side. Mr. Perkins?
Yes, come right in.
Oh, thank you. There wasn't any receptionist outside.
Oh, never felt the need for one, really. People just walk in and out. My name's Ellis Perkins.
I'm Ralph Albertson, Mr. Perkins, and this is Mrs. Albertson.
How do you do? I am pleased to meet you. Sit down. You wouldn't believe how rare a stranger is.
Yeah, well, I'll get right to the point, Mr. Perkins. We've been looking for a place like this, a quiet little place, you know, to settle down in, permanently.
Have you now? Well, there is a house available, just one. You quite sure that you want to be this far removed from worldly things?
That's exactly what we do want.
Yes.
Peace and quiet. I find the city lately it's just too much for me.
I see. Do you feel the same way about it, Mrs. Albertson?
Oh, why, yes. Not as strongly as my husband, perhaps, but now I've seen your town.
Yeah, good. Well, it's just about lunchtime.
Oh, well, if you have an engagement...
No. Nothing of the sort. You come to my house and have lunch with me, of course.
Oh, now, really? We couldn't impose on
you. No. We'll get a bite somewhere and meet you later.
No, I won't hear of it. You're coming home with me. We'll enjoy a good country lunch. As we call it, dinner, you know.
Oh.
And then we'll proceed to a discussion of whether or not our sleepy village is the place you're looking for.
Oh, dear. I may not eat again for days.
Do you always eat like this at lunchtime? Ham steak, home fried potatoes, green beans.
Well, it's really the main meal. Supper isn't quite as elaborate.
Oh.
Except on occasion.
Well, it certainly was delicious.
Yes.
I'd be fat as a pig if I had a lunch like this every day.
Everybody ready for the apple pie?
Oh, my goodness.
Too much?
Oh, yes.
No, Lucas. I guess you'd better save the pie for supper.
Want me to bring the coffee in here, Mr. Perkins, or in the sitting room?
In the sitting room, I think, Lucas. Where should we go in? Oh. More comfortable talking in there than around the table.
Now, if Lucas does everything else as well as he cooks, he's really a gem, Mr. Perkins. Does he live in?
Oh, yes, has for 10 years or more now. Take that chair, won't you, Mrs. Albertson?
Thank you.
Yes, used to be my dear wife's favorite.
Oh. Want me to pour, Mr. Perkins, or just leave the tray?
Put it on the coffee table here, and I'll pour. You go have your dinner now, Lucas.
Want anything, just holler.
Yes. Lucas is the only family I have since my wife passed over. He gets restless sometimes, talks about leaving me, but I don't think he ever will. I don't know what I'd do if he did. Cream and sugar, both of you? Real cream?
No, thanks. We both take it black.
What a pity. Well, now, let's get down to the business of finding out whether or not you and Sleepy Village would suit each other.
Well, the town suits me fine. We'll have to look at the house, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. What is your profession, Mr. Albertson?
I was a college professor, American history.
Oh.
But I decided to leave that and, well, work on a book I've had in mind.
Good, very good. The village could use a good historian. Interesting history this place has. You'd be fascinated.
Yes, I can imagine.
Lucas makes good coffee, too.
Well, now, I don't mean to pry, but are you people who have a great many friends? That is, to whom old friends are terribly important?
Oh, well, we have an average number of friends, I suppose, although I can't see what...
Well, living in an isolated place like this might be...
Well, if we miss them, we'll ask them to come and see us.
Yes. But you are looking for a place where you can get away from people. And I assume that includes friends as well as strangers.
Mr. Perkins, I don't understand what difference all this makes to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I haven't offended you. It's a very small village, Mr. Albertson, and, the relationships are very close. Intimate, you might say. We find we have to make sure we're getting the sort of people who will blend.
Oh, I see. A sort of gentleman's agreement. Is that what you mean?
Oh, no. Nothing like that at all, no. Nothing whatever. It's just... how can I make you understand? It's just that comings and goings upset our people terribly. We can't have people moving in and then just packing up and moving out again. That's quite impossible.
I think perhaps the best plan would be not to move in the first place.
Oh, dear. I've done this very badly. I've given you the wrong impression altogether.
Ralph, don't you think... Well, it's such a sweet little place, and maybe the reason we like it so much is that Mr. Perkins does make sure he has the right people before going on with it. Not just anybody would fit in here. You have to admit that.
Would it help, Mr. Albertson, if I said I'd be very happy indeed to have you and Mrs. Albertson come and live in our community?
There. You see, Ralph?
Well... All right, at least we'll look at the house.
Splendid. Well, I'll go and make the arrangements right now. Before you have a chance to change your minds, I'd just like to make a phone call, if you'll excuse me. Please help yourself to more coffee.
Wilma, didn't you think that was a bit much?
Well, except you know he's right. A little village like this is quite a different proposition from a big city. It wouldn't be a good thing for either the villagers or us if we moved in and then all hated each other.
No, I suppose not, but it's very strange all the same.
Oh, Lucas, I was just telling Mr. Perkins the coffee's up to your standard. Very good.
May I speak to you in confidence?
What? Oh, well, yes, of course.
Have you decided to stay?
Well, nothing's been settled yet. Mr. Perkins is making arrangements now for us to see the house.
Oh, but that don't mean, does it, that you're dead set on staying?
Well, no, of course not. The house may not be suitable at all.
Although I'll be surprised if it isn't.
Well, if it does work out so that you can't stay, I'd like to ask...
Wait just a minute. Can't stay?
Well, I mean to say, if it works out so as you don't. I'd be most beholden to you if you'd let me come with you when you go.
Well, of course, if you want a ride, we'd be perfectly willing to take you along.
But Mr. Perkins was just saying...
Oh, he don't want me to go. I know that. But it's not fair, is it, to keep a man against his wishing? I'll talk to you again after you've... I'll talk to you later on.
All right.
Don't tell Mr. Perkins we spoke.
Well, that was pretty spooky, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Lucas has been watching too many late movies. You know,
this whole setup seems... I don't know, we'll see the house at least.
Oh, we're going to like it, Ralph. It's going to be just what we're looking for.
Well, splendid. Couldn't have worked out better. Oh,
I know you're going to love it here.
Mr. Perkins, when can we see the house?
In due time.
What do you mean, in due time?
Well, what I arranged for just now on the phone was for you to meet the village fathers. It was a lucky thing. They're having a meeting anyway this afternoon on another matter, and...
Why should we meet the village fathers?
Oh, didn't I mention it? Well, you'll have to appear before the village fathers before you can consider settling in Sleepy Village. You'll have to be approved.
If a man wants to buy a house in a town that he finds attractive, if he has the money to pay for it, even if one house comprises the entire market, doesn't it seem odd to ask him to appear before the town's governing body and establish his worthiness? But Sleepy Village is a place of many, many odd characteristics. We'll encounter more of them when I return shortly with Act Two. That's the question when you catch the common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion. Then make 12-hour contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The Johnny Time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm Inspector Pry, miss.
Patience. Miss Patience.
According to the report, you say someone is trying to murder you.
Yes, but I was warned. A nice man knocked on the door and told me my brick chimney was about to crash through the roof over my head. Luckily, he's in the business and will repair it tomorrow.
This sounds serious.
I'll help you, Miss Patience.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Be skeptical when a man rings your doorbell and says he just happens to be passing by with his repair equipment and notices that your house needs to be worked on.
My stars! I could have been hoodwinked by a scoundrel.
It pays to be calm and exercise patience. Patience.
Just another friendly tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Hoodwinked? Hoodwinked? Haven't heard the term hoodwinked in a while, Dave. Looks like we lost CW for a moment. I'm sure she'll be back shortly.
Yeah, she was back, but she's gone again. Yes, she is.
Yep.
Hey, I did want to talk a little bit about the mayor in this particular episode, Court Benson. He appeared in 179 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Began his TV career with appearances on Captain Video and his Video Rangers. And always, you know, I do like to go into find out about them when you take a look at their obituary. And this is out of the, what is this out of? The New York Times. All right, so here we go. Courtney E. Benson, an actor in radio, television, theater, and films, died on February 5th at Northern Westchester Hospital in Mount Kisco, New York. He was 80 and lived in Mount Kisco. The cause was heart failure, his family said. Mr. Benson, who shortened his given name to Court, was born in Vancouver, graduated from the University of Toronto, Osgoode Hall Law School. He began his career broadcasting hockey games, went on to perform in dramatic programs on the CBC network. He moved to New York City after World War II and acted on radio dramas, among them Backstage Wife, Our Gal Sunday, Gangbusters, and The Big Story. In television, Mr. Benson appeared on The Guiding Light, As the World Turns, Edge of Night, The Doctors, and many other shows. He also acted on Broadway in the 1961-62 season in Ross. In the 70s and 80s, he had roles in the CBS Mystery Theater and many radio and television commercials. Film credits include Know My Darling Daughter, Guns of August, and Bananas. He also made many industrial, documentary, and educational films. So that's just a little bit of the words he left behind in his New York Times obituary there.
And C.W. Beck in the hizzy.
We were just giving some background on the person who's the actor who's playing the mayor in this, C.W. And we can't hear her.
Yeah. If you're with us, we can't hear you, C-Dub.
Yep. Ah, see? Maybe she still had her emergency blinker on, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't know which way she was going to go, so to put her on mute.
That's right. Just drive safe. That's the main thing.
Yep. So anyway, that's what we got started. This is the start of this. It starts a little slow, but things are going to pick up pretty soon here.
Oh, I don't know. Those people gave me the creeps from the beginning, the way that mayor was talking. Like, what? Wait, what? What kind of cult did I stumble into?
He has to meet the council before he can think about buying a house? Really? And Luke is saying, well, if it happens that you can't stay, if it happens that you don't stay, will you take me with you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
is this council, they wear like black hoods and stuff? And
it would be cheating if I told.
It'd be like the devil's rain or something. Anyway. Well, while we wait for the lovely and delightful CW to rejoin us, hopefully safely here at Erie House, let's continue with Sleepy Village. Where they're probably going to go.
Wishing to escape the overcrowding, the noise, the pollution, the tension of the big city is quite common these days. But perhaps there is such a thing as going too far in the other direction. Ralph Elberson is beginning to think that's just what he and his wife have done. They found a place aptly named Sleepy Village, but the mayor, Ellis Perkins, has told them that they must appear before the village fathers and be found acceptable before they may consider settling down.
Of all the nonsense I have ever been subjected to, this has got to be the most ridiculous.
Unusual, perhaps, Mr. Albertson, but not ridiculous. There are elements involved here that I'm not free to explain to you at this time.
Wilma, let's get out of here.
Oh, Ralph, not before we
see. Before we what? Appear in supplication before a bunch of small town... No, I won't do it, Wilma.
You'll be treated with the utmost dignity, Mr. Albertson. Please believe me.
What have you got going on here, Mr. Perkins, that you're so careful about? I mean, you don't screen people like this unless there's something going on that you can't afford to let become generally known.
Well, you're quite wrong about that, Mr. Albertson. We're very proud.
I don't see why you have to be so suspicious, Ralph. They just want to make sure we're compatible.
Exactly. As she said it exactly, Mr. Albertson.
And we have nothing to lose.
Wilma, are you really so taken with this place?
I guess I really am.
All right. All right, for that reason and no other, I'll talk to your village fathers. But don't either of you expect me to get down on my knees.
Meeting starts promptly at 3:30.
Oh, Ralph, surely you don't think...
I think we're damn fools for having any part of this, if you really want to know what I think.
Miss Perkins.
Yes, Lucas.
Tell her on the telephone wants to talk to you.
I didn't hear the phone ring. Who is it?
I wouldn't tell me his name, just said it was almighty important. I told him I'd tell you that.
Oh, dear. I mustn't be late for the meeting. Well, I won't be a minute.
Wasn't no call on the telephone, you know. I just told him there was.
Lucas, why did you do that?
Want to have a word with you. You ain't really figuring to stay in Sleepy Village, are you?
Well, we're going to see the village fathers. We don't know yet whether we're going to stay or not.
Why, I wouldn't. Indeed, I wouldn't, Mr. Albertson, if I was you.
Why not, Lucas?
Lots of reasons. Well, if it turns out you don't have to stay, you promised to take me away with you, remember?
What do you mean, if we don't have to stay?
Well, it works out sometimes. Oh, here he comes. I better
Lucas, there wasn't anybody on that phone.
There wasn't?
No, there wasn't.
It was when I talked to him. That's all I know.
Well, no time to worry about that now. Are you ready to go?
As ready as I'll get, I guess.
Mr. Albertson is an historian of considerable repute. Now, as you all know, the village records have been gathering dust in the archives for too long. Sleepy Village has a proud past. I have no doubt whatever that Mr. Albertson could be prevailed upon to go through those records and put them in order and set them down in readable form for all to enjoy. I feel no hesitation whatever in recommending them wholeheartedly as future citizens of Sleepy Village.
I never heard of such a thing. I just never in my whole life heard of such a crazy thing.
Well, it did seem... Well, I thought it was sort of funny.
Funny?
Ralph, why don't you just sit down and relax, okay?
I'm sorry, Wilma. No reason why I should take it out on you.
Well, it is sort of out of proportion. I admit that. But then there can't be many places like this left in the whole world, do you think? The way things are today. And to keep it this way, I guess they'd have to protect themselves. Otherwise, it would be just like any other small town.
Well, I don't like to be interrogated.
Congratulations. Oh, I am so pleased. They've accepted you unanimously, not one single objection. Well, I can't remember the last time that happened.
Okay. So can we go and see the house now and get that over with?
What? Oh, the house. Well, now, don't worry about that. I think this calls for a celebration first, don't you?
No, I honestly don't, if you want my opinion. Now, what we better do is take a look at the house and then do something about finding a place to spend the night.
Now. I'm not going to listen to any arguments about it. You're just going to have to leave everything to me.
Well, you have to say one thing for this town. It's not short on hospitality.
Mr. Albertson, I know that today has been an upsetting experience for you, appearing before the village fathers and all, but that's all in the past now, don't you see? You're one of us now, or same as. You and Mrs. Albertson belong here. It's been decided.
Oh, decided. Now, look, you and your village fathers have spent the day checking us out. Has it occurred to you at all to wonder how you look to us? I'm as fussy about who lives next door to me as my next door neighbor is.
Ralph, please, don't you think so?
And I don't like people prying into my business. I don't like people sitting in judgment, deciding whether or not I'm good enough to mingle with.
You use the word neighbor, Mr. Albertson. That's not quite the right word. We're closer than neighbors here. We're more in the nature of a family. Let's say you were considering adopting a child. Now, you'd want to know something about him, wouldn't you? His background, what it would be like living in the same house with him.
Mr. Perkins, I did not come here to be adopted. I came here thinking that maybe, just maybe, I might want to buy a house and settle down here. But at this moment, it doesn't seem like a very good idea.
Oh, dear, dear. Mrs. Albertson, you don't feel the same way your husband does, do you?
Not as strongly, I guess, but I can see his point.
Well, it'll work itself out. Would you two care for another sip of brandy before bedtime?
No, thank you. If we're going to find a motel with a vacancy, I think we'd better start looking right now.
No. That won't be necessary. Nearest motel that I know of, it's just the other side of Morbury anyway, and that's close on to a 50-mile drive.
All the more reason for starting now.
And my guest room upstairs is a good deal more comfortable than any motel room you're apt to find around these parts.
Mr. Perkins, I really do appreciate your hospitality. I don't want you to think that I don't, but... I'm sorry, but this is nonsense. This just isn't the way things are done.
You'll find that things are not down in Sleepy Village the way they're done outside. Really, Mr. Albertson, we're exactly what you came looking for. And now you're resisting it. Why? If you can believe that such a place might exist, believe it strongly enough to set out on a journey looking for it, why do you find it so difficult to believe that it does exist once you've found your way to it?
You know, he's right, Ralph.
There's just something creepy about it. All right, we'll spend the night here. Mr. Perkins, I'm sorry if I've seemed rude, but... No, it's very kind of you, I'm sure. Yes, thank you. We'll stay.
Lucas? Oh, Lucas?
Yes, Mr. Perkins. I was just about to go on upstairs today.
Come in here for a minute, please, will you? I want to talk to you. Oh, sit down, will you? You don't have to act like a servant.
Well, as long as I am one, reckon I might as well act like one.
Lucas, you're not planning to do anything foolish, are you?
I don't know what you mean, Mr. Perkins.
You remember the Collinses, the night they spent here before they moved into the old Bradley place?
Oh.
And I wouldn't want a repetition of that. The Albertsons have seen the village fathers and been accepted. It's all settled. You'd be very unwise to interfere.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that, Mr. Perkins. That there with the Collinses, that was a long time ago. Before I'd got rightly settled in, you might say. You don't have to worry.
Good. Because it wouldn't work anyway. I give you my word. It wouldn't work at all.
Wilma, I suppose you think I've overreacted, but this is the damnedest thing I ever heard of.
Yes, but it's kind of sweet, don't you think, Ralph?
I might think so, yes, if it weren't for the village fathers and their interrogation. I didn't like that, Wilma.
No, but once we're part of the village...
I still won't like it. I'm not at all sure yet that we're going to be part of the village.
I have a feeling, though.
No, there's more to this than old Perkins has told us. There's some kind of a catch. I get a wrong feeling.
What was that?
House settling. Or somebody knocking at the door.
Somebody knocking?
I'll see who it is. Oh, yes, Lucas.
I have to talk to you.
Well, we're all ready for bed. Can't I wait until morning?
Oh, I got to get it settled tonight, Mr. Albertson. If I can, I got to. Can I come in and shut the door?
It's okay, Ralph.
Okay. All right. What is it, Lucas?
You folks don't really want to stay in this place, do you?
Well, we haven't decided yet.
We haven't seen the house. We like the town, all right. But, of course, we can't decide anything definite until we've seen the house.
House ain't got nothing to do with it, Mrs. Albertson. Nothing whatsoever.
Of course it has. We'd be living there.
Lucas, do you have something to tell us? Is there... something about this place that we ought to know before we make up our minds?
It sure shooting is. But I don't know if you're going to believe me when I tell you. But Collinses didn't.
Collinses?
Last folks come looking for a house to live in here before you. It's been, 8-10 years now.
8 or 10 years since anybody's been here asking about a house?
Out of the way place, this. More than you know. You don't just... stumble onto Sleepy Village. You got to be, I don't know, led, I guess. I told the Collinses that, but they wouldn't believe me.
No, wait a minute, Lucas. Led by whom?
Well, I couldn't say. I asked the Collinses to take me away with them, too, but they didn't go. They stayed. Still here. Always will be now, of course.
I can't understand why you keep asking people to take you away with them, Lucas. And if you want to leave Sleepy Village, why don't you just leave?
Oh, no. Well, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't if I tried it all by myself. I think you ought to make up your mind to get out of here, Mr. Albertson, not just so as you can take me with you, but for your own good. Maybe they'll still let you go.
Let us go?
Well, damn well let us go if we want to go.
I sure hope so. We could still leave tonight. Better chance to get away after dark than in the daytime.
Now, look, you're going to have to explain that, Lucas. If you want us to take you away with us in case we go, well, you're going to have to tell us what is going on here.
Well, they're all dead, you know. Not me, I don't think. But all the rest of them's dead can be. Been dead for years.
A village full of dead people? People who walk the streets, speak with a Down East accent, overeat at dinner time, quarrel, behave, in other words, as we expect living people to behave? Well, to clear that one up, it would be necessary to define death, which would involve defining life. Would you care to try? Perhaps the definitions will be forthcoming when I return shortly with Act 3.
If you're on the verge of buying a new small car, buy a small Buick. Not just because we say so, but because of what I'm about to tell you. The three small Buicks, the Buick Skyhawk, the Buick Skylark, and the Buick Apollo, are newly designed for 1975. Their styling is fresh. Their engineering is up to date. Each of these small Buicks is powered by a spirited new V6 engine, which delivers excellent gas mileage. Each of these small Buicks has steel-belted radial tires, which also help the gas mileage. Each of these small Buicks has a high-energy ignition system, spark plugs that last nearly four times longer than before, and they each have typically comfortable Buick interiors. There's one other reason for buying a small Buick. If you take delivery of a new Skyhawk by February 28, 1975, Buick will send you a check for $500. If you take delivery of a Skylark or Apollo by February 28, Buick will send you $200. So, if you're going to buy a small car, buy a small Buick.
Did you know that more children die from being hit by automobiles and from any other cause? 10,000 pedestrians and cyclists are killed, and another 500,000 are injured in our country every year. And most of these casualties happen to children, especially after dark. There is something to keep your children safer after dark. A safety kit of hot dots, reflective stick-ons that give off a blast of light. Drivers can see them from 600 feet away. Protect your children at night and on dark school mornings. Stick hot dots on bicycles, clothing, books, lunch boxes. Get your hot dots kit free at Northwest Federal Savings, one block west of Cicero Avenue on Irving Park Road, or in Des Plaines on Dempster Street, just east of the Tri-State Tollway. But hurry, our supply is limited. A message from Northwest Federal Savings to help keep your children safer after dark.
United Savings begins with you.
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
What's this hot dog thing they were just talking about in the commercial?
I don't want a hot dog.
Oh, maybe it wasn't a hot dog. Maybe it was something else.
It could have been a bank premium. Remember when you used to get free stuff at the bank? Open up a savings account. We'll give you a toaster.
Yeah. They give you a toaster or a bank or something, spatula or spatula. Yeah, right.
Spatula.
But, well, here's, you know, you'll be getting 0.01% return on your deposit. But here's a wonderful spatula. Wow.
Actually, rates were pretty good back then. Now the savings
rates were good. They were 4-6% way back then.
Yeah, savings rates were pretty good back then, as I recall.
I don't know. Really, what happened? Who knows? Oh, in regards to the premium that bank was offering, they were offering hot spots. There were those hot spots, those decals you put on your bike and books and things.
Yes.
And virtually radiate in the dark. They were probably radium.
I'd rather have a hot dog.
Sweet.
I'd rather have a hot dog, yeah.
Ooh, you could be your own 3 Mile Island. Woo-hoo.
Yay, radium. Time to sing the radium song, kids.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I just say I never knew how dangerous Three Mile Island was until I found out it was originally Five Mile Island. You know? That's only Three Mile Island. That's dangerous. That's dangerous.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. That's not good. That's not good at all. But living in a village of the dead, now, would I get lower property taxes?
Yeah, it might be worth it then, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, get the perks where you can. Of course, then I can see, you know, even if I'm dead, I probably still get a pothole right in the middle of the street. Something, you know, you could just literally disappear. I mean, seriously. I mean, if it takes the Terminator himself. I mean, no kidding. If it takes the Terminator himself to come and fill up a pothole when the city can't do it, what chance do you have?
Point. That's funny. I saw that picture of him with the shovel. He's been shoveling it lately. But
pothole. Yeah. Quick, get to the pothole.
Yeah.
Bring up the asphalt. Okay.
I will cover it with asphalt.
Asphalt. Pothole terminated.
That's right. Too fine. All right. Well, we're moving along with Sleepy Village. I wonder if they're ever going to get out. Boy, I thought my homeowners association was bad. Woo. This is This is like good.
Yeah. Did they interview you before you moved in, Dale? Your homeowners?
Oh yeah, that we had to learn Gregorian chants, and it was bad.
Oh okay.
It was really
okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah. They give you a trivia test. Did they name all the Captain Star Trek franchise?
No, but I had to watch like hours and hours of. I had to watch hours and hours of Friends, and it was horrible. I couldn't. It was.
Humanity.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dale. Yeah.
I don't. What can one
I don't
say?
Like talking about it a lot, you know, because it's I'm scarred.
It's the embarrassment of having to watch Friends. I understand that. Yeah.
Well, that's the actual part of it. It's really anything.
and that song looping in your brain.
Oh. Please stop. It hurts. I know I've been bad, but stop.
Oh. Isn't there a United Nations charter against that now?
What, being bad?
No, Friends.
Oh, there should be. There should be. I'm not much of a book burner, but I'll make an exception in the case of Friends.
I will own up to the fact that I'm guilty too. I occasionally, on the odd occasion, on the off chance, averted my vision, my peripheral vision, caught a sliver or two of Friends. Yes.
I will admit to watching one full episode of Friends, only one, and it was the one that Maury Amsterdam and what's her name, Rosemarie, were on an episode of Friends.
No way.
They were. And that's the only reason I tuned in to watch that particular episode.
Well, that would be a good reason.
Wow.
That is a
good reason. That is an excellent reason to slip from the discipline of good taste and watch it, just to see them.
Yeah,
yeah.
You are forgiven.
The hell? Why can't I forgive myself?
No.
That's funny. I'm telling you, man, this is like I'd be swinging and fighting by this time. This guy's got a longer fuse than I do.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean,
with
seriously.
This homeowner association cult. You guys still there?
No kidding.
Yes, yes,
I mean,
yes. We're still here.
I appear to have lost my teammates.
Whoa. Oh, oh hello. We
yeah.
still
Which
here?
Of us can you hear? Me or them?
I can hear. Dave?
Well, gang, going to
yes.
go right into.
I'm here.
Dave, I can hear.
Part
I can hear Dave. I can hear
Village.
You.
Oh.
This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78. The time is 11:05. The temperature at Midway, 31 degrees. Open Lakefront, 32. For tonight, mostly fair. The overnight low, about 29 degrees. Friday, increasing cloudiness. High, about 46.
One of man's major preoccupations ever since he became man has been with life after death and the form it will take. That it will take some form, he must believe, for the mortal span is too brief to be acceptable as the entire package. He delves and seeks and pries, and sometimes, at strange moments snatched from the commonplace, he seems to get a glimpse.
Oh, but you can't possibly go. It's never happened before.
Then this will be the first time, Mr. Perkins, because we are going.
Well, no, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go and have a look at your house and then come back here and discuss it over a good, hearty breakfast. How does that strike you?
Well, frankly, it leaves me cold. We'll get our breakfast along the road somewhere.
Oh, dear. Mrs. Albertson?
I have to agree with my husband. It seems a shame, but I don't see how we could possibly be happy here. Not that I believe what Lucas says for a minute, but...
What does Lucas say?
Oh,
that's not important. We're grateful for your hospitality, Mr. Perkins, and we both agree that you have a beautiful little village here, but, well, it's just not for us. Now, we're all packed. We'll be out of here in a few minutes.
Oh, it's going to be hard. Hard to find another place we like as much.
You'll never find one as spooky, if that's what you mean.
Ralph?
Yes?
Do you believe what Lucas says?
That everybody in town is dead?
What's that up ahead?
Mm-hmm. I can't tell. It looks like a tree across the road or a telephone pole, maybe.
There's a man there. See? Off to the right.
Oh, good. The two of us ought to be able to clear that thing off the road without too much trouble.
Ralph, he's got a gun.
What the hell?
Can't get through this way, mister.
Sure we can. The two of us can move that log.
Ain't nobody moving the log or driving through. Better just turn back. Only thing you can do.
Let's turn around, Ralph. The way he's holding that gun...
Hey, what is this? A roadblock? Are you trying to force us to turn back?
Got this shotgun here, Mr. Albertson. Sure hope I don't have to use it.
I was waiting for you to come back. Well, I do sit down. I know you're angry.
Angry?
But...
You don't know the half of it.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Well, I intend to explain everything. You mentioned earlier that Lucas told you something, Mrs. Albertson. Do you mind telling me what it was? What did he say?
He said you're all dead. He said everybody in the village is dead, except him.
Yes. Well, he is, too, of course.
What are you talking about?
Oh, it's quite true. We're all changed over. We're all dead, if you want to use that word, although, as you can see, it isn't accurate. We've finished with the life you're experiencing now and gone on to the next.
Oh, cut it out, Perkins.
Ralph, you wanted him to explain?
Thank you, Mrs. Albertson. It isn't an easy thing to give credence to in the beginning, I know. Continued existence after what you think of as death is as natural as your having been born in the first place. People are not simply extinguished when they finish the first phase.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Perkins, but I just don't buy it.
Why would you want us to settle in your village? We're not dead. Two living persons in a village full of dead people. Why?
A sleepy village is not the place you drive to. It's a place you think yourself into. When you're sufficiently repelled by the society, the circumstances, which is to say the life in which you find yourself trapped, then you find your way to Sleepy Village. And once you've done that, you become candidates for residence.
Then what you mean is...
Candidates for death. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Well, now, it isn't death as you think of it, Mr. Albertson. You'll have to change over, yes, but you'll hardly notice it.
Dead is dead as I see it, no matter what comes after.
The very fact that you found us, found your way to our village, implies a natural readiness for the change. It's... Well, don't you understand that it's more than half done already? You're here. That says all that needs to be said.
Mr. Perkins, I think I'd like to be alone with my wife for a while, if you don't mind. Will you come with me, Wilma? A remarkable thing is about to happen to us, and we need to make ourselves ready.
Yes, yes. That's very good.
Well, I'm... not ready. I won't be ready. You know, I don't understand you at all, Ralph. Why do you suddenly...
No, please, please, Wilma. We want to make the change gracefully, don't we? We need to prepare ourselves. Wilma, do you think for a minute that I'm going
to...
No way. I just realized that they have to be humored, that's all. Now, look, we've somehow found our way into a village full of nuts. That's what's happened. Now, look, we've got to play it their way if we hope to get out of here in one piece. Because that idiot downstairs means what he says.
Lucas. Where's Lucas? He must know how to get away.
I don't know. I think he expected to ride out of town with us in the car.
All the same, I think we ought to see if we can find him.
Well, let's give him a little time. I have a feeling he'll come to us. There. There, that'll be Lucas. Lucas, come in. Where is Perkins?
Went out a while back. I waited a few minutes before I come up just to make sure he wasn't still snooping around. I expect he's making the arrangements about you folks right this minute.
Arrangements?
Well, you know, they won't want to waste any more time than they have to. Well, you folks been cutting up.
Lucas, can you get us out of here?
I think I can sneak us out all right. It could be easy, though.
Lucas, if you knew the roads would be blocked, then you weren't expecting just a ride out of town with us in the car, were you?
Might have yesterday. Hid in the trunk or somewheres.
Well, if it's just a matter of walking out, not going by car, why haven't you done it long ago? Why wait for somebody to take you?
Well, it's a funny thing. I've gone as far as the village line 100 times or more. But I just... don't seem to be able to push my way across it somehow, standing there all by myself. I can't say why.
Well, what makes you think it would be any easier if we were with you?
I always figured if I had somebody there with me, holding my hand, as you might say, I could make a... never do it without, I know that.
All right. Can we leave now?
Have to leave your car behind and your suitcases and them things.
Well, we'll come back for them. I intend to come back here with the police and clean this place out.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't count on it if I were you. Now, just walk along natural, talking and going on like I was showing you around. Here's how we'll do it. We'll go over and cross the line right in back of the church. Village ends right there, back of the church.
Yeah, won't they be patrolling there?
I wouldn't think so, no. The village folk don't go in back of the church. Never.
Why not?
Something back there scares them off, seems like.
Lucas, you say everybody in the village is dead. Everybody but you.
Yep.
How does it happen you're not?
Wondered about that a good deal myself. Come to the conclusion it just slipped their minds. I wasn't important enough for folks to take much notice of when I showed up.
How did you happen to come here in the first place?
I can't hardly recall anymore. I was hitching at the time.
Hitchhiking?
Yep. Mr. Perkins put me right to work as soon as the village father said it was all right. His wife had just made the second change, and he needed somebody.
The second change?
Oh, they die. Well, they don't live forever here in the village. Second changeover, they call it, and I reckon that's what it is.
Oh, they're dead, all right. Everybody but us.
That's the line. Right there, at the foot of that old oak tree. Other side of the oaks, out of the village.
But why do we have to hide here? Can't we just walk across the line and be out of the village?
Not and be sure somebody won't take a pot shot at us, we can't. Ain't nobody ever got out of this village, to my knowledge, once they've been accepted by the village fathers. I ain't sure I can make it.
What? What do you mean?
Well, if I get to holding back, now you just take my hands and pull. You hear me? No matter what I say, you drag me on across that line, past that old oak.
But if you ask us not...
Don't pay me no mind. Drag me over by the heels if you have to. Well, time to go, I reckon. Here, take me by the hands, both of you.
What, were you shaking like a leaf?
I ain't never been so scared in my whole life. You two just walk on up to that tree and across.
Oh, come on. Come on, don't hang back.
I'll just stay on here, see that you two get across all right, but I'll just stay on here.
Oh, come on, let's go.
Change my mind, Mr. Albertson. Reckon I'll just stay on here.
No. Now, we're taking you with us, whether you like it or not. That's what you asked us to do, and that's what we're doing.
Well, that was a while back, Mr. Albertson. A fella can change his mind.
I'm sorry, let's go.
Let me go. You let go of me, you hear? I'll yell for Eddie Crampton if you don't. What I said before don't make no difference. You let go of me.
You come on, will you?
Ralph, I ain't a-going. Eddie, down here, back in the church.
Shut up, you damn fool. Up, Wilma, push him. Push him, get behind him.
Ralph,
push him.
Out. If he doesn't want to.
All he's been talking about for the last 24 hours is wanting to get away. Now, come on, you.
Lord, help me.
No, please.
We're out of their miserable village. We're across the line, Lucas. Lucas.
Ralph. He's not here.
But of course he's here. Lucas.
Ralph. Look around you. For heaven's sake, look around you.
Damn. Where the devil did the idiot get to?
I don't mean that. Look what this is we're standing in. Just a minute ago, it was a vacant field, and now, Ralph!
It's just a... Oh, it's a graveyard.
Oh.
I didn't notice it before.
Oh, it wasn't here before. Ralph.
Hmm?
Read it.
Ellis. It's almost worn away. Ellis. Perkins. 1834 to 1904. But...
And this one, over here.
Lucas Madison. 1897 to 1963.
Perkins died in 1904, and Lucas Madison in 1963? Well, that's what it said on the headstones. And when Ralph and Wilma looked for it, the village wasn't there. They found nothing but wasteland and an old church, crumbling from age and disrepair. I'll be back shortly.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door. Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing.
about I stand, sir.
If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
Wilma and Ralph Albertson found a fine old colonial house eventually in a lovely little town in Connecticut. And Wilma says dreamily sometimes as they sit down to lunch, I wonder what Ellis Perkins is having for dinner today and who's fixing it for him. Well, sleepy villages may come and go, but Mystery Theater will be back with another account of the improbable but not the impossible. Our cast included Norman Rose, Martha Greenhouse, Kurt Benson, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Gretchen, what's come over you? You seem so different, so...
Yes?
Well, you always struck me as a... Well, I'll say it. A very quiet little person. And now you... You glow all over.
I feel there's a glow inside me.
Oh, Gretchen, it's beautiful. But I see now it's an awful beauty. It's a frightening beauty.
Fear and terror. It's all part of beauty.
Those crimson flowers, that red, it's like the red of blood. These flowers, they look as if they're being nourished with blood.
They are, Porter. They are. How did you know?
How did I know?
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant... Dreams?
This is WBBM Chicago, News Radio 78, the time 11:23.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I can hear you, Dave. Dave?
I can hear Dave. You. We can't hear Dale. Last time we could hear Dale, now we can't even hear Dale.
Dale, you can't hear us. No, we're at home.
Dale, you're turning yourself off and on, off and on. Let me see. Let's get to... trying to get to the bit where we can give our little moral of this. Story. We do have a little moral to this story. As soon as I figure out what the heck it's called, I should make notes. I should make notes. I should. Ah.
Oh, where's the
like
fun
this.
In that?
Eerie House Radio proudly presents. And Garland, moral of the story.
Pretty good. Yes, apologies to Garner. If you're thinking of moving to a remote location, make sure it's not a place you would only be caught dead in. There we go.
There you go. All
right. Woo-hoo! Can you hear us again? Hello?
Yeah,
once interrupted.
Yeah.
Flush interrupted. Flush interrupted. Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to preempt your flushing.
No, that's okay. The flush was the first thing I saw, so it was the first thing I was going with.
It was right
but I, you know,
right.
I was really starting to get to feel that beat, you know, and then all of a sudden, The beat went away.
I mean, yeah.
Just like when Sonny and Cher broke up, the beat didn't go on anymore.
No.
Yeah.
That's why I got to hear the beat.
Got to hear the beat.
How come nobody ever remade this song?
Because you just can't get better than the original, Dale. Can't get better than the original.
There are some things that should not be touched, and that is one of them.
There's a lot of things. A lot of things should be touched.
Yeah, first cousins are another.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
That's why I wear safety gloves wherever I go, yes.
Yeah. Keep you safe from...
Things were untouched by human hands. Yeah, you know what, Dale? You got knocked off from there, and I got knocked off while during the last segment as well. Called back, and then I was able to call back on the Google Voice. So,
yep.
Blog Talk is having its fun tonight.
That's right, listeners. We will always outsmart Blog Talk and continue to bring you this fine programming.
Ah, yeah.
That's what it is.
Fine programming.
Fine programming.
Animal Jack, you've got to come with us. You can have all the beats you want, and we're going to take you. You've got to go with us. Come along peacefully. Come on, Animal Jack, let's go. Come along peacefully. Come on, Animal Jack.
This is Australia.
Hold him. Grab him. Grab him. Let's go. Get him out of here. Get the chains on him. Grab him.
Okay.
The ending is the best.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Just dragging him right off of there.
Yep.
As they should. Well, that wraps up the regular part of our show. We got some time left.
We do. Whatever shall we do? Shall we do a jukebox? Maybe a twin spin?
Why not?
Oh, yes, please do. Yes.
We could do the spinning of the twinning. That'll cost a full quarter, you know.
A full quarter?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I did
wow.
get paid this week, so I do have a spare quarter left.
There you go.
So here you go. Let me reach
well,
over.
All is overtime. All right. Wow.
But, yeah.
And it's gotten from simply rotten to something worse. Who knows, someday I will win too. I'll begin to reach my prime. Now though I see what our end is, all I can spend is just my time. I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I've got plenty of, baby. Scheme a while, we're sure to find happiness, and I guess all those things you've always cried for. Gee, I'd like to see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, my baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby, I can't give you anything but love. To see you looking swell, baby. Diamond bracelets, Woolworth doesn't sell, my little baby. Till that lucky day, you know darn well, baby. I can't give you anything but love.
It's far enough.
Now let's turn to a little rhythm song. It's called Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree. It's silly, isn't it?
He wrote his mother. He wrote his father. And now he's writing you too. He's sure of mother. He's sure of father. Now he's gotta be sure of you.
To him sing.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. Anyone else but me.
No, no, no.
Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Would till I come marching home. And don't you go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me. No, anyone else but me.
No, no, no.
Don't you go walking down Lover's Lane with anyone else but me. Whoa, till I come marching back home.
I just got word from a guy who heard from the guy next door to me. That you
got a girl, he knows her name. That the girl he met just loves to pimp and hit you to a tee.
So don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Whoa, till I come marching back home.
That has happened several times now. That's weird.
Our talk has been doing weird stuff, kids. But yeah. I was just thinking, with these last two songs we heard, gang, it was 2 years ago this Saturday, 2 years ago, which would have been May 1st, was show number 500, and that was our World War II music show.
Ah.
I reposted it recently because a memory thing came up, and it was a lot of fun. I remember that one, gang. That was a lot of fun.
It was. Right. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. Oh, wait a second. The song came in. Okay. I'm done. Wow.
Yeah.
Makes me dizzy. Okay.
What did you do? Hit yourself with some Old Spice there?
Oh, my gosh.
Old Spice. It hits back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. That's really cool. That was a real fun couple of shows we did with that. We did a full two-hour show with that. That was a lot of fun, Dale.
Yep.
It was. It was.
Yeah, you were with us for that one, I think. Were you not? I think. I don't know. 2 years ago, what do you expect me to remember?
Yeah.
I'll go back and listen.
It was all the way back at show number 500. Way back then.
Way back then. Woohoo.
And I was in error. I said last night was show 711. Actually, show was 712 overall. Tonight is show 713.
Yeah. Yeah, two 7-Elevens, but that's okay. You like 7-Eleven.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, it's those Slurpees. It's those Slurpees you like, you know? What can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always listening to you guys. I have to keep my ears to the ground with you.
Yeah, you can feel the vibrations. When we walk by, you can hear the vibrations. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Bye, Steph.
So, Dale, what's happening next week on Eerie House Radio?
Well, it's May. I'm warning you now. I'm warning you now about next week. I'm warning you. It's all about warnings. Warning, warning. Danger,
warning,
danger.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger,
yeah,
Will Robinson.
We got,
danger.
Friday. Yeah. Friday, we have Escape, Beyond Tomorrow, and Suspense with great stories, The Invaders. Hey!
Ooh.
With Roy Thinnes. No. Incident at Switchpath, and You Died Last Night. And then we'll have another CBS Radio Mystery Theater Saturday when we come tonight. Speaking of tonight, when we're done here in about 3 3/4 minutes, you can get yourself on over to them Twitches. It's a brand new rerun of rebroadcast of
I like to call it.
Showing.
Go ahead. I just like to call that a classic show. Yes, it's not a rerun. It's a classic show.
It is a classic retro of Gar the Ghoul.
A re-airing.
Best of the best.
First time he's ever re-aired this one. He doesn't re-air stuff. He is into doing stuff live, gang. Believe me, he's chomping at the bit to get back.
Yes.
But for the meantime,
he may have chomped
he's
a little too much. I think he chewed down so much that his incisors are down quite a bit. So he's going to have to get some more wood to build those false teeth with. So.
Yeah, some George Washington teeth.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. But we would like you to join us next weekend and then go see that Gar guy next after this year when we're done.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
And Gar, please get better, my friend. Please get better.
Please, please.
Yeah, would you?
Absolutely. Yes. Do it. Do it for us. Do it for us.
Yeah. Yeah, the heck with your own health. Do it for us.
That's
yeah.
right.
I mean,
get back here. Get back here. No matter what, you get back here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We come first. We're first. First.
We.
It's all for us.
Emily.
Wait a minute. Are we starting to sound like cats here or what?
Yeah.
No.
God forbid.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, as we are about to run out of time, I will thank everyone for being here and to come and be part of Eerie House Radio, whether you call in or just show up or just listen to your kind.
We love you guys. We do.
I know. We do.
Is it over? Remember Pat Paulson used to do that, and he'd be crying, and then people were squirting him with like squirt guns and stuff. Like, okay, is it over here or what? You know.
Funny.
Good old Pat Paulson out of Detroit. That's where I think he hailed from originally.
Yep. And ended up almost being taken serious for running for president. Almost.
But it was more fun running for it than it was actually becoming it, so.
Yep. All right, we're not going to forget tonight. We got to get Vince in here. Good night, folks.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Got to get going.
There's
no
building.
One left but me and him.
Oh, wait, I left the demo on. I'm sorry.
We meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Okay, I won't.
Can you dig it?
I do. I got my shovel.
My timing was terribly off.
It was mine.
Ow. Damn door.
Wow. Thanks, Blog Talk.
Yep.
Yeah, Blog Talk. Thanks, Blog Talk.
Messing with us all night long.
I know.
Hey, you know, Dale, I know how, you know how I know that that song, that short song clip that came in, wasn't either one of us? Because we had another clip going at the time, and you know it cuts off the other clip when you do that.
Oh, yeah. What the hell was that?
Yeah. That came over top of another clip.
For a while here.
It has been doing that. It's been doing that about every other show or so lately.
Yes.
And I always thought it was you, and you thought it was me, but you know what? We had a clip going, and that same stupid song came on. So who knows where that came from?
Yeah, I don't know. It's haunted. We are Erie House.
Sounds like a case for Sherlock Holmes.
Right. Good old Bob. It was swell. You can tell it's swell. It's from Mattel.
Yeah, and he says, what was he said earlier? He says, well, that was a whole lot of radio. That was funny. Good old Bob.
Yep. It was a whole lot of radio.
A whole lot of radio.
It's good having bonus material.
Yes. I'll have to get it loaded up again this week.
Yeah.
We'll get you loaded
I try to remember to dump stuff as I play it to try to avoid repetition unless it's like a soundbite we use over and over.
But, yeah. So, whew. So, yeah, I do, even though I didn't get in tonight, Dale, I want to say thank you for allowing me to do all the silly stuff I do, like the facts and the cave band, things like that. I really have
the hell
love
the
opportunity
me for?
To,
you put a lot of work into
to
it.
Have, well, you give me a forum to be able to do that, you know? So I really appreciate that forum.
Hey, makes it easy for me. You know I like doing stuff on the fly, so I get to do that. But I can do structured stuff, too. You've given me some good scripts when we do commercials and stuff.
Yeah, I need to get another commercial ready for us. What do we got? Oh, Invasions? Okay. All right, maybe I'll come up with a commercial for next week. So CW, check Thursday or Friday in the group text so I can I might have a script there for us for a commercial.
Are you with it? You still with us, CW?
She's showing she's there, but now we can't.
Hello,
hear her.
Guys, you still there?
Yeah, we're
here. Okay, you're still here. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, he's thinking of shooting
us
a script shortly.
Okay, we can't. She can't. She can't hear us now. Thanks, Blog Talk.
I can hear you. Well,
can you?
I can hear you. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Okay. I just said to watch your the group chat. I may have a commercial for next week for the three of us.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you. Oh, darn. Did I forget to mention my computers are all broken and
nice. Uh-oh.
And I'm using dial-up
Oh, come on. We're not doing another song yet. This is just a commercial.
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Did I mention the fact that I'm hard of hearing now? And
what was that? I didn't hear that.
Strangely, we disconnected again for a moment.
Yeah, thanks, Blog Talk. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
that's all right. We find ways to fix stuff on the fly.
Oh, indeed, indeed.
But if we can't find a fly, then a bee will do.
Yes.
Exactly. I prefer a dragonfly myself, but hey, yep. That's just me. Fire-breathing dragonfly.
Yeah. You need the Buddha of computer health is what you need.
The Buddha of computer what?
Health. Yeah, your computers health? need to become well also.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes. Zen and the art of a good computer.
Yes.
Yep, where you will become one with the Dell, you know, one with the Dell.
Oh yeah, yes.
You're getting a Dell, dude.
Oh, I'm one with the Dell. Didn't Dell? Mm-hmm. Was that the one that had the cow patches all over it?
No,
the
that
cow
was,
patch
that,
design.
That was Gateway. That was Gateway.
Yeah.
Oh, Gateway.
And you know what? They still have Gateway is still around, believe it or not.
Really?
I was in Best Buy, and not only did they have all-in-ones, which Gateway was famous for in the day, but they also have laptops.
Hmm.
Do they still have the cow patches?
No, cow patches are gone.
Oh, well, what good are they then, you know?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I'm still shocked that, Dell bought Alienware, which I had an Alienware machine. It was a refurbished one. Now that died, and that really hurt. I loved having that little alien icon. It was just so cool. It was just the coolest thing in the world, having that alien icon.
That didn't work out so well for the X-Files either.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, the truth
the
is out there.
We're glad you went to the extra effort to be here, Jonas.
Yeah. I'm sure you can hear the noises of the wilds of the city, people revving up their $4 gallons of gasoline, thinking they're in the Indy 500.
Yep.
Oh.
Children throwing fits saying, no, I want pizza. I don't want tacos. Yes, yes, the sounds of suburbia.
What about pizza tacos? You use a pizza, put in the shell form, and fill that up with the good old taco seasoning stuff. Yes, pizza tacos right here on Erie House Radio.
Radio. Mm-hmm. A brand new invention with waterproof tea. Waterproof tea and pizza tacos. You heard it here first, folks.
Brought to you by the makers of waterproof mops. They last forever. They don't pick up anything, but they last forever. Yeah.
And cabling.
And cabling.
Yes.
Wow.
Don't
cut think with all the sponsors, we'd make
it's
some money
cabling.
Around here.
Yep.
No kidding. Then we start raking in the cash.
Yeah, we've gone corporate, kids.
Sorry. We've sold out. That's right. We've all sold out. High time,
really.
Too.
I'm still going upside down. They jacked up their prices, too, on me, that dirty.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Back to the old rate. They gave me a good discount rate for like a year. It was good.
Yeah. But speaking of last night when we were talking about that, hope the ATF is not listening. Yes, those devices that you once were able to find readily available in tobacco shops are available on places such as eBay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I just want a good electronic cigarette, and I don't want a vape. I like the electronic cigarettes. They keep me off of the real cigarettes more. Mobetta. I've tried everything. I've tried the nicotine gum. I almost gave myself a stroke. I'm an aggressive gum chewer. No, I'm serious. My heart was like racing. I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell is this? I'm not doing this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine had a certain variety of, how should we put this delicately, ladies' accoutrements that you couldn't buy in the U.S., so she had to get them by Canadian means?
God bless the Canadians.
Oh, yes.
No, and my mind is racing. I know. I dare not know what to think. It could mean a couple of things in my distorted mind.
Let me put it to this way. She had to make sure that when she was using her precious supply, the situation was sponge-worthy.
Okay.
Well, if you look that up on a search engine, you'll figure it out. Anywho, I'm just wondering if those e-cigarettes would probably be available across the border versus here in the good old U.S. of A.
Maybe. I think maybe they're just people, stupid people, like drop them in their drink and get electrocuted or something. I don't know.
I'm hoping they don't have that much
There's stupid people who light their face on fire with a cigarette, too. So, the cure is get rid of the stupid, and that you do that by doing nothing. It'll just happen. It's Darwinian.
Well, most definitely.
Didn't hurt.
Too, that and the – hey, and have you ever been to a gas station where someone had a lit cigarette and pumping gas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to be him.
What? Oh, I'm shocked. Yeah, I saw somebody doing that for the first time in my life, and I cannot tell you how quickly I got away from that area.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything to those fumes,
there's that one scene in The Birds that kind of says it all.
There you go.
Yeah.
They should show that scene on the monitors of all the gas stations in a continuous loop.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I think it would be great. This is what happened to Harold when he said, I need a smoke. Flick, light, boom.
Yeah, that would work. It could work that way.
I think it truly could. With that said, gentlemen, I must be away. I'm hiding in my vehicle, away from humanity as much as possible. But that being
said,
you're
ahead of us, then. You're ahead of us, then.
Yeah. This is going to be my bunker. When they drop the big one.
The bunker. Never mind.
It's the bunker. Yeah, it's not lead line yet, and I don't have my Faraday cage in place, but once I get all that set, I'm good to go.
Yep. Well, you can tell it's swell. It's from Mattel. I don't know why I said that twice.
Ah, yes, Mattel. When they drop the big one, Mattel will be here for you. There won't be much left, but we'll be here for you.
Yeah.
And you'll be stuck with a diet of Twinkies because that's all that will survive.
Yep,
that's it. That's it. Even in the zombie apocalypse, you're hunting down the last Twinkie.
Oh, God, that was so funny. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, in Zombieland. Woody
Harrelson had
was
to have a Twinkie.
Yeah.
They found that truck full of snowballs.
He said, I don't like coconut. I don't have anything against the flavor. It's just the texture I can't deal with.
That's the greatest. I love that movie.
That is amazing.
One of my favorite horror comedies. It's up there with Young Frankenstein and a couple others. Nars Attack.
The Yep, the Monster Club.
Monster Club is great.
It is incredible.
Monster Squad is cute. Have you ever seen Monster Squad?
Monster Squad, yes. I think I actually recently found it on YouTube. I don't know if it's still up, but I found it on YouTube and I watched it.
It's been running around Roku. And I'll tell you what, I did not see it until recently, maybe the last few years. And it is like the cutest movie. Dave, if you've never seen it, you've got to see it. It's like an 80s, maybe even an early.
Okay.
No, Monster Squad.
Yeah.
Monster Squad is good too, but Monster Squad is cute and it's a good family. And it's like, you could tell it's a heartfelt tip of the hat to the old Universal Monsters.
Most definitely. Oh, and I was thinking of from yesterday when I was talking about when Lost in Space lost out on that golden opportunity instead of coming up with craptastic scripts. The reason I thought about that, it was because a wonderful little indie movie I saw. It's from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, it has Dakota Fanning in it. It's called
Really?
Please Stand By. Yep, Dakota Fanning is in it. It's called Please Stand By. And it's a wonderful, wonderful story about this young woman who is autistic, but she is a huge, huge, huge Star Trek fan. And they have a contest at Paramount for writing a script. So she writes this gargantuan 500-page script and is bound and determined to submit it. She walks away from her counseling center, the adult center that she's staying at, and she makes her way to L.A., goes through all these trials and tribulations to get that script in there by the deadline. And it's a marvelous, marvelous little movie. It's called Please Stand By. It's from 2017. Dakota Fanning is in there. It's just a fabulous little movie.
That sounds like it's worth checking out.
It is worth your while to find that. I saw it during the shelter in place when all these subscription services were being magnanimous. Actually, all they wanted to do was just hook you and then start charging you. But I saw it before they hooked me. They didn't hook me. They didn't get me. They didn't get me.
Good. Fight the good fight.
Exactly. You stick it to the man. Yay.
That's right.
But, gentlemen, I must be away, so I will complete my final task of the evening. I shall call to the stage the Schnozola himself.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Good night. Get that goat off the
stage. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Chase down the yodeling pickle.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Calabash.
Everyone.
Do you mind turning off the radio?
Okay.
Bye-bye.